This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Shawik. It's our monthly show with consultant developmental pediatrician, Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan. Dr. Rajini, how are you doing?
Hi, thank you, Shawik.
And today we are continuing the conversation that we started last month, which was Autism Awareness Month. We want to keep that conversation going, of course, looking not only at autism, but the needs and challenges of children who are non-typically developing. And today, also quite special, we'll get a chance to visit our, friends and neighbours. Well, not neighbours, they are our fellow Malaysians in Sarawak, and to find out what the situation is there like, what services there are like. And, for the past 23 years, the Association for Children with Special Needs, SIBU, ACSNS, has been working at the community level in Sarawak to provide services to children with special needs and their families through training, resource development, advocacy, and parent support programs. So today we have joining us on Zoom from SIBU, Dr. Toh Teck Hock. He's a consultant pediatrician and he's also secretary of ACSNS to share with us about the situation in Sarawak, how ACSNS and its affiliated center, Agape Center Cebu, has helped to connect children and their families with care and support services. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask or thoughts you'd like to share, either as a parent, a caregiver or educator even, call us at 03-77-32-900. You can also WhatsApp us at our U-Mobile number 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Dr. Toh, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. How are you?
Good, thank you, Shariq. Good afternoon, and all the listeners on the lines, good afternoon. And Rajini, of course, very nice to see you again. I know it's been quite a while.
Yes, it has.
Yes. Perhaps you could give us a sense of that picture of what it's like in Sarawak, in Cebu. I'm going to start off with a huge question. What is it like in terms of services that are available for children with special needs? I know that's a big area to cover, but we could break it down into diagnosis, interventions, therapy, and support. Paint us that picture, Dr. Toh.
Well, I believe Rajini has actually spoken much about the disabilities, children disabilities, and services and services available in West Malaysia. I'm sure she has shared with you how challenging it is. Although she may have an individual successful story that she has shared, all I can say in Sarawak is whatever Dr. Rajini said is probably going to be 10 times, 20 times harder and much more limited. I think that probably will summarize whatever I can tell you. Sarawak is a big land. People who are familiar with the geography, Sarawak is probably as big, slightly bigger than West Malaysia on the whole. But in terms of the number we have, it's not as populated. So that actually add on in terms of the geographical challenges. So Sarawak, in terms of the disability services, is largely, I would say, it's pretty good in big area, in big town or city like Kuching, Cebu, Miri, maybe Vintulu. But it's quite like once we go out of this city or town, I think the challenges, just now I said 10 to 20 times more. Once we go out of these four places, the challenge is probably going to be another 10 times, 20 times more compared to places like Cebu or Miri or Kuching. largely, I think we probably have similar situation like what Rajini shared with you in West Asia, in terms of the awareness. I think on the whole is increasing, but that is actually limited to town area people and those parents who are more educated. But access to professional, be it doctors, professional, allied health professional, like therapists, psychologists, and also to early intervention programs provided by the specialized teachers. On the whole, it's actually still a lot of challenge because we just don't have enough therapists. We just don't have enough doctors who can work in this area. I think on the whole, probably we still have a lot more doctors who want to save life in the hospital. You know, this is what a lot of young people, when they enter the university, they want to become a doctor. They want to save life. You know, but I think these are the things that's changing. We do know that there's a lot of needs in this disabilities field. It's not just about saving lives, which we are still doing. Dr. Rajini, I'm sure you're still doing that. But I think that life is just go beyond the survival, and we have a lot of children suffering, you know, because they're not given enough and early interventions that make them more functional. And so that they can actually survive in this school, let alone in the society. So on that whole, I think we still need a lot more people, a lot more professional in be in the medical line or be in the education line to help. So yes, I think that I hope answer your first question. You know, in terms of the challenges and overall pictures.
It does. It does indeed. And I wanted to ask you, Dr. Rajini, that idea of first. Awareness among society that you can or you should, be on the lookout for certain areas where your children may be facing challenges, and then seek support, a diagnosis. Do you feel like that needs to come first before we can ask for more therapists, more doctors, more services, or do they come hand in, or does that come hand in hand?
I think it's got to come hand in hand. We've come out of the pandemic, and even before the pandemic, in the Klang Valley, for example, it was highlighted about our urban poor families, you know, and how many families only have a meal a day, and we're talking about families who live in the tower blocks of KL and Selangor and stuff like that. So we're talking about the urban poor. And of course, if you talk to some of these families, they think about putting food on the table. They think about how they can get their children clothed with school uniforms to get them to school and things like that. So maybe this comes in very much secondary. It's not something important. But I can tell you, when we do medical camps, or you hear about, and if you speak to NGOs, when they go out into the homes and into the PPR flats, very often they come across families whose concerns are about their children who have disabilities or behavior challenges. And so it's not something that, that we should say, oh, feeding people, like Dr. Toh said, saving lives, helping the emergency patients should come first. I think a lot of it goes hand in hand. Sometimes, the reason they come in a state of emergency is because they couldn't seek help early on. Yeah. And, it's something that we don't hear much about and not highlighted enough, I think, is the number of children with special needs who either have fallen out of homes which are not safety proof, or they've, wandered off and ended up drowning in a pool or a longkang nearby. Yes, if the media catches news of that, yes, they may highlight it. For example, the case of the child who drowned in, I think it was Kuching, was it, Dr. Toh? They're found to have autism. But yet we don't hear about all the other cases that are happening. Media sensationalizes a lot of abuse cases right now, right? There's always a flavor of the month. But we don't hear about the little stories that actually affect a lot of our children with disabilities. And sometimes we need to step in before those lives are lost or further disability happens, because those children are more at risk.
Definitely. It is life-saving when you put it that way, isn't it? Dr. Toh, if we go back to that picture that you painted for us, how does that translate into challenges for families and children with special needs? If we look at the spectrum of them, you know, what they struggle with, how their children go through perhaps early education and schooling, what are their what are they struggling with? Ooh, we may have lost Dr. Toh. He seems to be frozen on Zoom. Dr. Toh, we'll try to call you on your phone, and hopefully the connection will be better.
I think he's back.
Dr. Rajini said just now, also back too. Me?
Sorry, hello. Dr. Toh. We lost you momentarily there. If I could...
Sorry, Toh, I got a phone. I got a call coming. Hello, can you hear me now?
You are a very busy pediatrician. Yes, we can hear you now, Dr. Toh.
So, sorry, because just now there was a phone call to me. I got a question just now. I think children with disabilities or children with special needs, they should be very heterogeneous, meaning it's very difficult to actually say that, you know, one answer that we can actually provide for everyone. And in terms of the awareness also, at the moment, we also it's very variable. So we still have children who are in the urban poor where parents are still struggling for food and shelter. But on the other hand, we do have a lot more. I must say things has actually improved over the last 20 years. And for example, like in Sibu town here, because that we have services available, delivered be it by the government's clinic, in my centers, or by the NGO, also in my centers, like here. So we do see parents coming forward a lot earlier. So typically now I will be seeing children with autism please coming to us at about age of about 1.5 years old, 2 years old, maybe slightly two. So that is actually very rewarding because we see children improve. We can experience that improve. Compared to when I first started and came back in 20 years ago in Cebu, we are seeing children with autism, for example, coming to us at 5, 6, 7 years old, which is very challenging. But of course, we still have parents that who are not that they are not aware, but you know they're still in denial, and this is always a problem that we are facing. That you know because. What Dr. Rajesh said, the challenges faced by different families are just going to be different. We always labeling this parent as in denial. No, they don't want to accept. But the reason they are denying is can be a lot. And so sometimes it is because of the personal experience. And sometimes the society at large is still discriminating in many aspects. And but on the whole, I must say it's actually improving. So good thing about what I see here is in Sarawak, at least in the big town, we do have a government clinic, the mother and child health clinics that nurses are doing a screening. So we do have nurses that are good at picking up children with a delay. But of course, sometimes the subtle one can be quite challenging. So we do have therapy in most of the clinics now. And we do have therapy, early intervention program provided by NGO, but they're pretty much limited in the town area. So we still, children outside of the town area is actually still having quite a lot of challenge in terms of getting the service. But here, I'm quite happy to share with you that our Sarawak Ministers for Women and Social Welfare, YB Fatima Abdullah, she has actually set up a center called SZ, One Stop Early Childhood Intervention Center in Kuching, quite successfully run in slightly outside of Kuching, but still Kuching is big city, is their city. But she has ambitions of setting up more in the more rural area. So I think the next one is going to start in Dalat, which is actually something like 2.5-3 hours away from Cebu. So I'm actually, you know, very exciting to see how, you know, what more is going to be delivered as what she has actually informed the press recently. Mm. So things are moving, things are changing, but we do need to go everything hand in hand. So we just have to take every advantage and pushing all the agenda through.
Yeah, and it's interesting to be able to hear what you're doing in one of the bigger cities and see how that can be, you know, sort of scaled or modeled for the more rural and remote areas. So we'll come back to find out more about what the Association for Children with Special Needs, CIBU, has been doing at the community level together with Dr. Toh Teck Hock, consultant, pediatrician and secretary of ACSNS, as well as Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant, developmental pediatrician. We'll go for a quick break, but you can get your questions in the meantime. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us 03-7733-2900. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik, and my guests, Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, and Dr. Toh Teck Hock, consultant pediatrician and the secretary of the Association for Children with Special Needs, CIBU, joining us all the way from Sarawak. If you have questions about what we're discussing today, working and supporting children with special needs, you can call us at 03-7733-2900 or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Dr. Toh, we would love to hear more about the ACSNS. What exactly do you do? How are you aligned with the CIBU Agape Center? What kind of services do you provide to children with special needs?
Okay. Yeah, Agape Centers is actually a name of a building, right? It is like Mid Valley, maybe not a good example to give now, but it is a name of the building. And then inside this building, we have a few organizations, including a government clinic. So that's where we actually work under one roof. Right. So inside these Agape centers, this Agape center started around about 2000. Right? At that time, the member of parliament and also the state assemblyman, they actually found a state land, and then a donor actually built a building and invited four organizations, four NGOs to come in, namely Association for Children with Special Needs, where myself serve as a secretary, CIBU Autistic Association, it's actually run by a group of parents, and Methodist Care Center, which is actually supported by the church, and also Special Olympics CIBU. Now, there's also a clinic, which is actually a clinic-based rehabilitation. This clinic is actually run by pediatricians from CIBU Hospital and also therapists from the CIBU Division Office. So these four, five institute or organization move into this Agape Center. So it is a building where we actually provide and support each other in terms of a one-stop rehab center where we actually provide a rehabilitation program, early intervention program, social welfare support. And inside the building, we also have like a classes program for like dyslexia and also a toys library. And we even have a workshop. A workshop that we produce and modified sitting and rehabilitation aids for children with cerebral palsy. So we actually modify the wheelchairs and we actually make customized sitting aids for children. So, and this clinic is a Ministry of Health clinic. As I say, it's actually run by pediatricians and therapists from the Ministry of Health. So it is our recently retired Director General, he described it as a smart partnership program between the government, the Ministry of Health, and also the community. So the building and the facilities are actually provided by the community, but we, MOH, provide staff. So everyone support each other. So I always tell the parent, it is more like you go into a shopping mall, and different parents, different children will have a different needs. Some people like to go to this shopping mall once a week, you know, just buy the goodies from whatever the need from the supermarket. But there are people maybe like Dr. Rajini who want to shopping every day and window shopping every day. So it's quite variable. So some children will come to our centers once every 3 months just to see a doctor and maybe to take some medicines or for some physical checkup. Or some actually come to our centers for early intervention program every day. And inside there, he's also a past fellow of KU for autism, run by Cebu Autistic Associations. So as I said just now, it's like a mid-valley whereby people can come into this shopping mall for different requirements, different needs. But one thing that Agape Center do quite differently is no, we do not tag residents. You know, we do not tag residents. So we train children and we want to send them to school. So inside this program, we do not have children of school age. They all go to school. The worst they do is they attend special education class. So we do not have children that come into our center for education program, but not going to school. But after school, meaning that after they're from five, or after the PPKI when they're 19, and so these are the children that graduated from a secondary school. So if they cannot go to the open market and be employed, so we take them back. So under Methodist Care Center, they actually have a vocational training program. So we'll take them back for vocational training. And last year in October, our Agape Center, actually we have another building. So just right next to it, sitting on about 2+ acres of land, we have a new building that is only dedicated for vocational training. So now that old building, we look after children, we provide services for clinic, for medical care, as well as for early intervention program. But now the building, we provide vocational training. So inside here, we have a range of job training from the very simple bench top packaging work for those young adults who might need a lot of support in terms of the work training. Two, we actually have things like hostel. So next time, if Dr. Ranjini or Shopee, you come to Cebu, come and stay in our hostel. Don't go to a hotel. And because this hostel is actually run, we're training young adults to run the service. So to actually do the cleaning, to wash the linens and come in the service in the hostel. We also have a laundry. We have a resource mart where you can buy some drinks and find instant noodles if you don't want to go out to eat. And we have a kitchen. And also we have car washing. So now we have trained quite a number of young adults who can do car washing, and there is a cafe there as well.
So it actually is Mid Valley. It does sound like Mid Valley. Dr. Rajini, Dr. Rajini, I want to ask you, you know, your thoughts of something like that. It literally is one stop, not only for rehab, but, you know, education or rather after school kind of enrichment and vocational training. And I just want to quickly read out a question from a listener, Chan, who asks, you know, what happens when a child with autism grows up into adulthood, you know? And it sounds like the Agape Center and the organizations are providing exactly that pathway. Dr. Rajini, your thoughts?
I mean, when you listen, we've always been envious of Toh and what he has done and how he has worked with the different NGOs in Agape Center. And, you know, it's nice to hear that it's literally from, you know, from when you're born, you have access to services somewhere like the Agape Center. Right through, and the fact that after leaving school, that there's still, you know, services for training and for young adults to be able to be employed, because at the end of the day, all of us want to be employed, not just for the sake of money, but, you know, for being happy. And of course, when I listen to this, you know, the jealousy in me, it just rises, right? But we know Toh and the work he does and the Agape Center. And like Toh says, when we hear the word Agape Center, for most of us in this line of work, whether you're a pediatrician or a occupational therapist or a special needs teacher, we already know what that means. It's like, you know, like he says, Mid Valley in KL, when we hear about Agape Center, oh, the one in Cebu, nobody needs to tell us, and we know what services are there. And that would be the ideal. And, you know, the fact that it crosses boundaries, shall we? You know, like Toh mentioned, government doctors go in to a building that's provided by philanthropists, church volunteer members who are in providing early intervention services, working side by side with, you know, other NGOs. And I think, though, I'm not sure, is the Special Olympics also, is the office there as well?
Yep.
Yeah, you did mention that. It would be ideal if we had that in at least every major town or city.
But you have a Mid Valley, which is a lot more attractive.
No. It just got fire recently, by the way. So.
I'm sure any parents listening would rather have your version of Mid Valley, Dr. Toh.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very nice word, Dr. Rajini. But it is not without challenge, I must say. So, as I always say that in Cebu, because people may hear Agape, but I always tell parents also that that's all we have. You know, unlike in Klang Valley, you have so many other, you know, if you don't like number one, you can go to number two. If you don't like number two, you go to number three. But in Cebu, being a small place, there is a pro and cons. So we work together. I think there's a lot of understanding, a lot of tolerance is needed, and a lot of understanding is really needed. And one thing that I always want to also not to forget to mention is the kindergarten program. So in Cebu here, as I said, we are doing the early intervention program so that we can send them to school. So when people ask me, how many people do you have in Agape? I said, that is not a question, because the data, I can tell you that I have no children in my Agape. I think that's the data and we are very successful. You know, if I tell people that, oh yeah, my waiting list is this long and that long, I say that that's not the case. So we pick up early, we train early, we want to send them to kindergartens. And I'm very blessed, I must say that in Cebu here, our kindergarten, be it the church-run base, you know, church-based or the community-based kindergartens or the private nursery or private centers, they are very acceptive. They are very. They do accept children that we train, that we have picked out early. And but of course, we do not expect the kindergarten to just take any children with special needs without training, because that is very challenging. We do know that a lot of kindergarten, one teacher had to look after 20, 30 children, which is very challenging. So the important deal is to train the children to pick them up early, train them early, train them well, so that the teachers can take them into their program that is run like the inclusive education. And then eventually we will transition these children into the school, into primary school, be it mainstream. I would say that about half of our children with autism in Cebu actually attend mainstream school. Well, the other half, because of whatever ability that is not able to match with the primary school mainstream program, they are in this special education class. So every children go to school. That is most important. So we do have a good education, preschool education program. They are willing to support us.
Mm.
I think that's something that is very important.
Mm. But what gaps do you see remaining, especially as they leave kindergarten and go into primary, secondary schooling? What more can be done to support the education there?
Well, I think Dr. Rajini, I'm sure she has shared. I think the challenge is still our education, our mainstream education still very categorical. You know, they see children still like normal, not normal, you know, or normal versus a special need. There is no gray. What we want is actually children to be managed as a person. So what is his requirement? What is her requirement? Rather than you're not so-called normal, you are in the mainstream class. You're so-called special need, you are in the PPKR, which is a special education class. But on the whole, I think we do need a lot more teachers, because like in most of the school in town area, Cebu is the same as in Klang Valley. One teacher had to look after 30, 40, 50 sometimes. Teacher control. And so we do need to reduce the class size for most of the school in the town area. And of course, the teachers should really need to be trained to actually deal with a range of abilities, just like doctors. we cannot tell people that, you know, I'm a pediatrician, I cannot manage adult. Well, when the adult come in with a heart attack, I'm sure that Dr. Ranjini will still be able to do some basic work, you know, and then making sure that this person will be slowly transitioned into a cardiologist who have a heart attack. So I think teacher is alike as well. I think we should be able to actually manage most of the children with some form of disabilities so that these children can be included in the mainstream. But we can't just say because the teacher needs support. That is very important. Support from the ministry, support from the school, support from the parents. And the children need to be well trained. We can't just expect the children to enter a classroom and expect the teacher to do all the wonder. That can't be done as well.
Yeah.
And of course, lastly, we need a society that is really supportive.
Dr. Ranjini, you know, when we talk about what happens in Sarawak and Sabah and the challenges that the states and the heterogeneous communities they face, there's always, I think you said you envy what ACSNS and Agape is doing, but there's envy on the other side, right? They look at the resources and choices that we have here in West Malaysia. Do you have any thoughts to share on, you know, how there could be more exchange of resources or collaboration, especially when it comes to expertise?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have very distinct, just like what Dr. Toh mentioned, you know, sometimes we have very, he says that we're lucky because we have a lot more choice. But sometimes with choice comes challenges as well. And we have a very distinct demarcation here in which, you know, why I say I envy is that, okay, a child is seen in a government hospital and, you know, they then go for therapy in a private hospital. But there's not much communication that goes on between the two sometimes. And I sometimes face as because I work primarily in the private setting, sometimes when I write letters for parents of children who go to local public institutions, the little Napoleons who receive the letters in the offices sometimes turn them away and say, we can't accept this because this has come from a private practitioner and you need to go to a government clinic or a government hospital to do it. Yeah. And so it's, you know, I know it's bureaucracy that we know needs to cut down. But believe me, there are also, and so this is where the difficulty comes. I think we need a lot more collaborative work. And having this private-public partnership that the government keeps going on about for a lot of infrastructure and, you know, and even there have been pilot projects in education, yeah, the schools that were sort of supported by corporates, the program that was run by Khazanah as well. Yeah, I think you've had some speakers on before talking about it. So I would say that we probably could be working a little bit better if we were sharing funds and sharing information and being able to walk into each other's buildings sometimes to provide services would help. But that's just, you know, is that a dream, a fantasy that we may never see in this lifetime?
No, it's not a dream. In fact, it's not a dream. Dr. Ranjini, my clinic welcome you anytime. Come and join the clinic with me. I think what Dr. Ranjini said is very true. I think sometimes some people are just too can't really see beyond. I mean, like to create rules to create rules to bound everyone, you know, for the sake of keeping the rules. But I do aware, I think what Dr. Rajini shared is very true, but being a doctor in the government, I do have that luxury. Like yesterday, when I realized that there was one school that is actually about 10 kilometers away from town. For simple people, 10 kilometers is very far, okay? Trust me. But when I realized, I read in the newspapers on Thursday morning that this school is actually facing a challenge because not enough students. So what I did is I called out the education officers in Cebu. So both of us were in the transport, in my transport. I picked her up from her office. Then we went to that school and we talked to the Guru Besar. And we talked about how we can actually collaborate, how we can actually send more children that may have like dyslexia to her school, and how we can actually train her teachers so that her teachers can be supported in terms of supporting children, teaching children with dyslexia. So we spoke about all these things. And I think that is that kind of collaboration. It's not just within the private public, but even within the public systems, the school and the teachers and the school and the doctors, we all together. I mean, I'm a community pediatrician, so that's why I think I don't just spend time in the hospitals. So we go out and we're looking for partners that can actually support each other.
Earlier, you mentioned that, you know, there are initiatives to do this one-stop intervention centers in more rural areas. Do you think Agape's smart partnership model can be replicated for rural communities, Dr. To?
I would say I don't know, because different areas are just very differently. The one-stop center that I mentioned run by the by the ministers in Sarawak, YB Fatima, is a slightly different model. It's the one-stop. So where it's actually initiated by the Sarawak government, and where the Sarawak government actually engage employed therapists and actually engage NGO to run this service and pulling in the health professional to go and support them. So this is a bit different. And to me, it doesn't matter what model, you know, so long as it works, it's a good model. So we do not have to replicate people. We do not have to copy people. And I think it's good to go and see. And in fact, I've been stealing a lot of ideas, including Dr. Rajini. I've stolen some of the ideas in the past without acknowledging her maybe. But I think that's where we just have to be. We just have to see what we have and what we haven't got and how we actually build on what we have.
Absolutely. If I can wrap up here, Dr. To, with a message from you or some final thoughts. Like you said, right, you just basically, you're in the community, you see what needs to be done and you try to find a way to do it. So some final thoughts on what support would you like to see for community-based organizations like ACSNS and Agape?
Well, I think funding is always good. We do need the funding because training early intervention teachers, training therapists is not easy. We do need to actually pay them better because these are highly skilled people. And also, Sarawak, as usual, we always welcome psychologists. Just to share with you, I don't have a psychologist in Cebu. We had zero psychologists. So we do welcome allied health professionals like psychologists. We do need more therapists. And of course, we do need more doctors like Dr. Rajini, developmental pediatricians and pediatricians, psychiatrists to come and join us. On the whole, I think Sarawak was still quite lacking in terms of a lot of specialists.
Dr. Rajini,
funding and human resources.
That absolutely. Dr. Rajini, any final thoughts?
You know, I think it's great having Dr. To coming in today because, you know, the last show we talked about the Autism Council. Yeah, and we talked about how the Autism Council should work to provide services, to provide training, etc. I think, you know, Dr. Joe has highlighted how cross-agency partnership can work together to have successful programs for children, for young adults, etc. I think it just needs us to break down some barriers to work together a little more and not worry about, you know, the red tape, the rules and regulations. We need to somehow shave those aside or push those aside so we can work collaboratively to help society better, I think, so that we don't see that the people who can pay can get all the services and the people who can't cannot. I think, you know, we need to see how we can work smart together. That's what's important.
Make it accessible to everyone, really. Yeah. Just like Mid Valley is. Thank you so much for joining me on this conversation today, Dr. Rajini Saravanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, and especially Dr. Toh Teck Hock, consultant pediatrician and secretary for the Association for Children with Special Needs, SIBU, joining us all the way from Sarawak. This has been Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.